Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 27 and 28 of Lord of Chaos, Gifts and Letters. Enjoy!
All right, welcome to Season 6, Episode 14 of The Will Reads. Yeah, back again for some more Lord of Chaos. You guys ready? Excited?
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, fun times. So a couple housekeeping things before I introduce our guests. If you guys are watching live, obviously you see guests on here. If you're listening later, I'll introduce them in a second. So before we get any further, I do like to give a quick shout out to new patrons. We do have one this week, so that would be Celeste. So thank you so much for your
Thank you.
And thank you so much. As far as anything else going on, we did a giveaway last stream. Iris Bear won that. We're not doing a giveaway tonight. And I'm going to pick after I'm done with this, the winner for our Facebook giveaway that's going on right now. So if you haven't, if I remember to, otherwise it's going to be picked tomorrow.
He's going to try.
If you're watching live and you haven't gone to our Facebook, go to the Will Reads on Facebook. And you can find the giveaway there. It's for a book. So go check it out. You might be able to win a book. And that's all the giveaways going on. And then as far as guests goes, we are joined tonight with the wonderful voices of Jen, Tom, and Joe from Talk Around Riyadh, the Wheel of Time Showcast. You guys have been on our podcast before, but for those who skip episodes or have never heard of you, if you live under a rock or you're not into the TV show, I don't know. Go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
I couldn't help but notice you said the wonderful voices, and you didn't mention anything about our faces.
I'm used to podcasts. So, voices and faces.
We have Alan is a dark friend, so
I have a face for podcasting, so I get it.
It's called the honesty, Joe.
It's being honest. I appreciate your honesty and being honest with us, Alan. So we're a Talk Around Riyadh podcast. We focus mainly on the TV show and production, the casting, and all kinds of news that comes out surrounding the TV show. And then we also talk about like how relating it back to the books, adapting it, speculating, and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And this is Tom's first time. So last time we had Talk Around Riyadh, Jen and Joe could come. Tom could not. So welcome, Tom, to our fun shit show.
I'm very excited to be here, and thank you for having me.
All right, thanks. Yeah. And as far as other guests goes, we do have a couple other announcements too. Next week, we're going to have Nerdy Knightley on. So both Nerdy and Clarus will be on here live with us next Tuesday. That's going to be on the 13th is when we record that. That episode will come out on the 20th. So come back, join for that. And then as far as other things coming up on that Friday, the 16th, September 16th, we are doing Watch of Fortune. So that's going to be our next Wheel of Time, Wheel of Fortune game show here on YouTube. That's going to be a Saturday night, Friday night. It's going to be at 10 p.m., so a little bit different time. And the reason why it's different times is because our contestants needed different times. And that will be Gus and Allie from The Wheel Takes and Danny and Brett from The Wheel Weaves. So,
oh, man.
Nice. It's going to be very, very fun show. That's all I get for announcements. So we always go into personal life. As far as personal life goes, I don't really know. Like last week, we had Labor Day weekend and here in the States. So I went to my aunt's house for like a cookout, but like we go to her house every weekend. So like it wasn't like a, because they have a pool. So like we go there every weekend because They have a pool.
They have a pool.
So, but
because
but,
you love them.
Because I love them. And, you know, and because I love them. Yes. And they have a pool. And we're trying to teach my kids how to swim. And they have a pool. Oh. So, but yeah, so the cookout was fun. Kids enjoyed it. My son and daughter went. My other son, the youngest one, had a little slight fever. So they stayed behind with my wife. Oh. So it's just me and the two kids. But yeah, other than that, not much else happened this weekend. It was very much a weekend of nothing, which is good. It's good to have those weekends every now and then.
Well, that's not true. We had fun.
We did. Yes. Yeah, we recorded on live on YouTube Chris's Cosmere content as he finished Shadows of Self, book five of Mistborn.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Book two of Air, too.
Yes, you're plowing through.
Yeah.
Yes, Ian, where you at?
I'm only a couple chapters in. It's moving very slow.
That's okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading it before bed, so like I'm in bed. And I'll get a couple paragraphs in, maybe a page, and then you do that thing where you read a page, and then you reread the page. Yeah. And you're like, I wasn't listening. Let me reread it, and then I'm asleep. So,
after twice, yeah. It's time to go to bed.
It's all over. Yeah, love that. Yeah, is that all you got, Alan?
That's all I got. Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, my Labor Day weekend was pretty awesome. Those of you that have been around the podcast for a while know that last couple of summers I stayed at my dad's house at the river. And had my boys out there with me the whole time. So we used to spend a lot of time out there. This summer, not so much. We've just been busy with so many other things. But we did Labor Day weekend, the whole weekend out there. All three of my boys came, including Ryder. He's 17, so he doesn't always come to all the functions. But he showed up, and it was great. The weather was perfect. A lot of tubing. We did battle tubes. Alan, you'd be proud. Ryder got a concussion. Two of the other teenage boys couldn't close their hands completely because their grip was totally destroyed. I mean, just ultimate battle tubes.
So what is battle tubes?
I was going to say, this sounds like a game we would play. And
so you get a motorboat, and you get two tubes behind it on two different roads.
Preferably small ones. The smallest tubes you could put in adult on.
Yeah, okay. And then you put two adults in each tube, and then you try to knock the other person off.
And it's the driver's trying to knock both off at the same time.
Yeah, so they're taking like you don't turns, do it with the little trying kids. To make you slide across the wake, and and then you know as the tubes come together, the main thing to do is you try to kick the tube out from underneath the person.
Exactly,
that's a go-to move.
My kids can
there's
say
two people on each tube, or
no, one person on each tube. Okay. On each tube.
Now you could do two.
That would be crazy, Jen. That would be crazy.
Yeah. How dare you suggest that?
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah,
come on.
So
someone jumps onto the other person's tube and tries to rip them off, and then the other tube that has no rider starts slamming into you as it flies up in the air. It's very safe, and
sounds it very safe. Everyone was wearing proper gear.
Right? Only one concussion.
Only one. That was reported. But a lot of people were very quiet after we got back to the dock. Now, so we switch off who goes against who. So you're switching off who you're battling against. And apparently one guy was upset about the way the last battle tubes went down. So when his former opponent was going again against somebody else, he just reached up and really quickly yanked on the rope as hard as he could. And it pulled the tube right out from under the dude that was sitting on it on his knees. And for a split second, he was floating through the air, and we saw him look down and go, oh, shit.
Oh,
that's when a concussion came, because it's a face first into the water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty bad, I guess. But, you know, nobody died. We saw dolphins all the way up by my dad's house, which Alan might appreciate this, but that's very
really
far up from
the river.
Go.
Yeah,
James,
yeah.
Yep.
It's, no, it's the Mattapani.
Way up the Mattapani, but way up in totally fresh water. We're guessing with all the storms off the coast, they're just like, screw it, we're going up river. That's my guess. Yeah. But of all the years we've been out there, it's the first time I saw them.
Yeah, was it a 95? You drive north on 95 towards New York. You go across the Mata River, the Po River, and the Nye River, and those all combine to create the Mattapani River.
The Mattapani.
Makes sense.
They're very clever.
I remember that from American history.
Yeah, you would if you know about Matoka or Pocahontas. The Mattapani lay claim to that group of Indians, but of course there's others, or Native Americans, I should say. There's others that lay claim as well, but they're like overlapping, and you know, they've probably the families merged and all that jazz. So,
yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris.
Beats my weekend.
You know, still in the midst of finalizing wedding stuff, so we're like done with that now. And we're just kind of patiently waiting on everything to fall into place for there. We went and visited our kitten. She's gotten larger. Awesome. We're also thinking about starting a GoFundMe for her brother because it's really sad. So Oscar's the brother. He's a white snow leopard, as they call him.
Leopard?
Well, that's what they call it. It's not really a leopard.
Yeah.
I wish it was a leopard. They look like leopards.
That'd be kind of cool to have a pet leopard.
Yes.
A little scary, too. But
what if it was deaf?
Anyway, continue. Deaf.
Nobody likes the deaf leopard joke.
Got it. Took me a minute.
Yeah.
With one arm. And he was a drummer. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so the brother apparently, like, he's still up for sale, and we just can't figure it out. He's the sweetest kitten ever. The owner of the mothers and the fathers and the breeder, she walks in the room and she's like, "It's y'all's fault." I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "This kitten will not bond with anybody else. He will only get out of his bed for you guys. He comes over, like, he plays with us, and the sister lets him play with us. Now there's a third kitten in there. She tries to come join the play. Both of them, like, attack her." It's like, nope, not having it. But if Lily or Oscar play with us, it's cool. But when Goldie tries to get in the mix, no. And then again, Oscar has not been sold yet because he's clearly bonded with us. And she's like, he has zero interest in any other people but you guys.
Good salesperson.
She is. But all of her other cats in that litter and the other sisters' litters have all sold. This one has not.
Yeah, when I bought my car last week, they tried to do the same thing. They're like, "That car right there is so lonely because they want you. When you come with this,
normally parked next to each other.
It normally, like, starts just fine. It starts fine for you, but everyone else doesn't start for. So we really need you to buy this second car too." And
so needless to say, like, I'm about to start a GoFundMe for Oscar to break him out of jail.
I can't joke on you because that's why we. You know, why I kept my fourth kid because he got along with the other three. So I was like, well, I guess you could
might as well. You have to.
Yeah.
That point.
Couldn't sell him.
Couldn't sell him.
But no, other than that, we did a family game night, thoroughly enjoyed that. In the midst of that, recorded some Cosmere and then went back to the game night, which turned into karaoke night. And then got the guest bedroom organized and some of the house really cleaned up and then just relaxed on Monday. So. It's a good weekend.
Cool, man.
Do you guys want to share anything? You guys don't have to. It's up to you guys.
I'm curious. I didn't prep.
I
didn't do anything exciting this weekend.
We never really even introduced Jen. Like, we said Joe, then Tom, and then Jen just got completely left.
I'm here. They know
Jen had an action-packed weekend.
How are the chickens?
The chickens are good. So, the two new
delicious
ones.
Delicious good, or they behave good?
No, eggs. Well,
I don't know
if
they're delicious because they're still alive. I haven't actually tasted any of them yet. Well. But,
I like how you put "yet" in there, Jen.
The two, I'll ever taste them. The two old ones aren't, like, too happy with the two new ones yet. They haven't, like, necessarily bonded, but I think they eventually will.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
With my chicken expertise.
I tried to talk Chanel into it. I'm like, "Yeah, we should get some hens. Like, then we don't have to pay for eggs." She's like, "What?" Sure.
I'm dying for somebody.
You just have to pay for feed and that stuff. But
yeah, but you know, we can make that last.
I think the feed's pretty cheap though. So
yeah, and they eat ticks and fleas and all sorts of other things. So they're great bug catchers.
They are.
Oh, then maybe you're selling me on it. Maybe I should get a hen because I hate bugs. I hate birds and bugs, but I hate bugs more. So. We should just go for the hens.
they'll get lizards and small snakes too if you live in that kind of area.
Yeah.
And
hope
frogs.
I don't.
They eat everything.
Especially a rooster.
And possums. Yeah.
If they could fit it in their mouth.
Possums.
Get out of here.
Yeah, possums eat lots of ticks.
Oh, possums. I don't think so.
No. Possums.
I was waiting for the punchline too. Okay.
Yeah. No, ticks. Possums.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. I definitely have possums.
Yeah.
All right.
So. You guys, Tom.
Tom, tell us about your chickens, Tom.
The chickens. I'll say this. So this weekend, for the first time since COVID, I took the kids out. We went to a local baseball game, minor league baseball game, which was very nice. First time literally that they went to something that wasn't like another family member's house. Kids are real young. So, I mean, they went to school, but that's not fun. They don't, you know, that's not exciting for them. So
it's fun, Tom. School's fun.
Yeah. School is cool.
You know. The more you know, kids.
Yeah.
Stay in school.
Stay in school. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But like, Jen actually did cool stuff this weekend. She has like a big Labor Day like bacchanalia with her whole family. Yes.
Oh, fun.
We have like we dress up in costumes and have parades and stuff like that. So it was fun. I was there from when I started Wednesday because my husband has to build a float for the children's parade. So that's Wednesday. I just came home Monday. It was fun, and I accidentally logged into the show that I ditched out of on Friday night because I don't know how to use Discord apparently. So I was like, oh, I thought when you clicked in, it just like I could just listen. I couldn't say anything. Yeah. So I joined the group. I joined the chat, and then it was like 30 admin, seconds.
So you have access to talk in that chat.
Okay, well, that's what happened.
That's for good content.
Is anything embarrassing in there?
There's no such thing as
I hear you guys content. Like, I hear Jen. Oh, no.
I was the only one who could hear you. Well, us and the people listening at Discord, yeah. Tom couldn't hear you. Yeah. But
she was like, do you hear Jen? I'm like, that's a ghost.
I died, and now I'm haunting the podcast.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Speaking of costumes and parades, I forgot this. My wife did go out and buy costumes for Halloween for my kids, for all three kids. Because they're obsessed with Sonic the Hedgehog. So my son wants to go Sonic. My daughter wants to go as Amy Rose. I think it's the girl Hedgehog. Mm. And then the baby's going to go as Tails. And I was like, well, then who's dad going to go as? Like Dr. Eggman. So I have to dress up.
Amy Rose?
Dark friend
is
indeed.
That a new person?
It's the cartoon.
Yeah, she's in the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
She's not that new. No. We're just old.
There you go.
1991. She's after 1991.
Yes.
Yeah. my oldest sister was last year.
She's from the late 1900s, Jen.
What about Knuckles? You can go as Knuckles.
Yes.
This is a dirty joke somewhere in there, but I'll leave you guys.
Yeah.
I'll let it ruminate.
Yeah. and Joe, nothing happened to you? Or all quiet?
No, I didn't do really much. I visited my parents on Sunday, and I bought a log splitter on Monday. That was
oh, that's awesome.
Hey, I love log splitters. I actually like splitting logs myself, though. Just getting the axe out and just...
I was doing that for a while, Chris, and it's just
painful.
It's a lot of work.
It's a whole lot of work.
It hurts the
back. Have a whole entire
pile. It's a great way to stay in shape.
Of unchopped logs that I've been putting off. That I just need to buy a log splitter.
Me too. I gave up and I gave in and I bought a log splitter. Nothing fancy. It's still a manual one, Chris, if that makes you feel better. Like I still have to like crank the things to split the logs.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. You guys ready to jump right into these chapters?
Sure.
All right. Let's go. Now that we're 20 minutes in. So let's go with chapter 27, Gifts. Our chapter symbol is the dragon. And so we start with Egwene's point of view. Egwene's just returning from a meeting with Gawain.
My students, they could ask me three questions.
Sorry.
Is that Gawain? Is that Gawain's voice?
I have no idea what it was. I just put my phone down. It was like, oh, there's noise. Where's that coming from? Oh, it's me. Yep. Anyway, gifts.
Yeah, so Gawain. Yeah. Yeah,
kissing
and Eggie's dreaming about Gawain and how dreamy he was in meeting him. So that's where we start.
Well, much so that her feet
boring
touch the ground. It's a cute love story, right?
Do you two dig? Do you dig Gawain and Egwene?
You know,
as we got into it, I was like, barf. Ew. Oh my gosh. But then I had to stop. I'm like, okay, Ian, stop being 40 and like bitter and think back to when you were young and like your first love. And I was like, dang it, I was worse than they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's cute, I guess. And so far, no harm has come from it. I'm imagining that might change in a few chapters. I don't know. But, you know, it's all right. It's okay. I still barf a little bit in my mouth. But,
just a tiny bit. It messes with prior prophecies that we've had about her ending up being one of the three. So in that sense, I'm like, work. But now that we know that there's a solid three in Rand's corner, then I'm not too worried about it. I think it's a good thing for her to have somebody to fall in love with, especially if somebody dies. Like if he dies, then she's going to totally flip her shit. And then her powers are just going to like grow exponentially. Okay. So I don't think he's actually going to die, but you know, it would make a cool plot twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say Chanel just started the next book and she hasn't given me anything, but she's like, oh, you guys just wait.
Like, she's a winner's heart, right?
Wait. Yeah. What is it called?
Winner's Heart.
Yes, Winner's Heart. Yep, that's where she's at. She just started. So she's just like, oh, the theories. I'm going to have to talk to Alan about all of my theories.
So just for context, you guys. So when Chris first started this podcast, he was single. He's met this girl, got engaged, is getting married next month. And she has now started reading the books. And of course, since we're going to Snail's Pace, has blown past us. So now he has to live with her as she is now a much more veteran reader than he is. And he's been doing this for almost 3 years.
And on top of that, she's like watching YouTube videos now. She's gone to the Great Blight. She's found people to start like watching on YouTube. I'm like, yeah.
That's gotta sting a little bit.
I'm peeking over her shoulder, like looking at the title chapters. I'm like, ooh, the title of that chapter just seems real interesting. I wonder
what happens in that chapter.
But the chapter titles they're so misleading. It's not like Jordan writes, all right, chapter 47. Yeah.
Choices.
Gawain dies. No, it's not. It's nothing like that.
No, it's like cup and bottle. The fuck? Why is chapter 47 cup and bottle?
That sounds like an inn. The cup and bottle inn, right? Isn't bottle
that? Yeah. Maybe. No, sounds right.
Like a video I saw on YouTube. Like,
no, that's
that wasn't YouTube. That was one cup, one
bottle. I didn't know. Hey, I don't know how clean or not clean you wanted us to be.
As dirty as your mind will take you there. You might even say something clean and we'll make it dirty. So, yeah.
But no, going back to your question, I think the Gawain and Gawain thing is cute. I think she's doing the right thing in her mind by, yes, allowing herself to be distracted, but then still knowing what her objective is, but not pulling him into the middle of it. But as a person who is literally trying to help a man who holds kind of like the fate of the world in his hand, I think she should have pressed Gawain a little bit more.
But I like that so idea. Far, big bonus, she got Gawain to back off from wanting to kill Rand, at least for now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a bonus. Like, yeah, I wasn't looking forward to that. One. They just randomly meet and he goes chasing after him like, I'm going to take your head. And then Randall just goes zap. And then, you know, everybody's upset.
So, oh, that would be an interesting turn.
And we learned the beginning.
It might still happen, but who knows?
Yeah. And we learned the beginning here too that Elida and the Aes Sedai there are looking for her too. So she has, and she kind of knew that already, but that was confirmed. So the next scene, she goes to the Wise Ones. They're talking about the Aes Sedai that are there waiting for Rand, Gawain kind of walks in on this meeting. And the Wise Ones are like, yeah, Rand just returned. She's going to meet with the sisters. And Gawain's like, I got to go. Like, right now. And she's like, bust out of town. I got to bounce. Yeah. I mean, obviously we get this a little bit later in the chapter. But when you were reading this for the first time, before you got to later, what did you think about Rand's decision to come meet with the sisters? Did you think anything was up? Or do you think... We'll talk about it more in a second. But
well, I mean, just right off the bat, I feel like he is so, I hate to use words, full of himself, but so confident. That's a better word to use.
He's much more confident than he was. Yeah.
That I knew he was going to meet with them at his leisure. It was going to be on his terms and that they were not going to get what they expected. Now, did I get exactly what I expected from that? No, but we'll get there. Mm-hmm. But I wholeheartedly expected him to meet with them and put them in their places really quickly. So there's that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm in the camp right now where I think Rand needs to engage more with all of the powerful groups in this world. The longer he waits, the more opportunity is for them to come under somebody else's influence. We already know from how we've been getting the prophecies. Yeah, we've been getting prophecies in piecemeal from, you know, different cultures within in this world. So, you know, me selfishly, I want him to just go and meet everybody so we can figure out their version of the story and figure out how it all fits together. Yeah, like Rand totally needs to open the letters for from these. What are they? The Wind Talkers. The Wind.
We're going to jump chapters completely.
I'm sorry. But like the Wave Mistresses. Yeah, the Wave Mistresses. Like
completely agree with you.
When he puts this stuff off, I'm like, no, like, come on. At the same time, like, he knows he's strong, but he doesn't know if he's strong enough for certain situations. So if he's smart about it and could kind of control like the terms and when they meet and how many people are around, I'd like to see him be more aggressive with, you know, shaking hands and meeting folks and all that.
This,
jazz.
I mean, this has kind of been Rand's MO since like book two. I mean, like even when he first got to Kyriad, he was just burning letters. Like, I don't want to be with anybody. And he's been keeping this act up this entire time. Like, I don't care. Like, eventually you got to lead.
Like, right. Exactly. That's where I'm at. You said it in 20 seconds. I took 5 minutes. Sorry, guys.
I mean, he tries to justify it though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're jumping ahead next chapter, but he tries to justify it by like, oh, I scoured the prophecies and there's nothing about the sea folk in there. So I think that's what he's trying to justify. Like, well, I don't need to talk to them. They're not important because they're not part of the prophecies.
Well, that's the point I was going to make. If you think about any of the exec peoples that you know, and I know you know quite a few, they never look at the resume. That's for somebody else to do. They talk to the person in the moment and make a decision. And it's either yes, I want you, or no, I don't. And that's the end of it. And he's at that point where he's like, you're sending me letters, but you know, when I get to you, if I get to you, I will. But if you manage to get to me first, I'll make a decision. That's kind of where he's at. That's his world.
I like that. It's a job. It's a job interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be aggressive. Be aggressive.
So we had Egwene clearly concerned.
Yeah, and before we get to the scene where Egwene bursts into the Palace of Arrogance, anything from all this before we get to Rand?
Nah.
The idea of sending Sorrelia to talk to them, and you know,
yeah,
that was kind of a funny little joke on her part that everybody thought was funny. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Egwene's kind of grasping for straws, though. She really does need somebody to kind of interject here and make sure that the Aes Sedai are distracted for as long as they can be, and also to keep them away from Rand until she can figure something out, because she's slowly losing a little bit of control of the situation she's had, if she really had any at all.
I think it's interesting, too. Like, she kind of feels like she's the, like, she has to get to him to give him all this information that he A, doesn't already know, or doesn't have other people around him to tell him. Like, she thinks, like, I'm the only one who could tell Rand the, you know, how to correctly act in front of these Aes Sedai.
Right.
When he's got other Aes Sedai already with him.
Yeah. And they had Moraine with him for however long he did. And he learned. Yeah. He's no dummy, but he's not thinking about the current Rand. He's just thinking
about
He's not
always a dummy.
No. Yeah. He's thinking about that Two River guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting worried about with Egwene? She's not going to keep up this I'm a Aes Sedai thing forever. So how's that going to unfold? If the Aes Sedai find her, obviously they know she's not Aes Sedai. And we've already got some hints, right? We've already got some hints on, you know, she's pretending to be a green. So greens get first dibs on, is it I'm punishing her or claiming her? Or
claiming her.
Claiming her, something like
and
that.
And punishing her at the same time.
Yep. And then also, we know the Aiel, at least at one point, considered themselves servants of the Aes Sedai or something, or they have toe to the Aes Sedai or whatever it is from betraying them in the past. So if the wise ones find out she's not truly Aes Sedai, will they feel obligated to rat her out and turn her over?
She'll have double toe.
Yeah. Big toe. Whoa. She'll have that. Just have that fuck you toe. Yeah.
Think about it. She'll have toe for lying, toe for allowing the Aes Sedai to carry on the wise ones to carry on the lie, toe to the Aes Sedai for the lie, toe because she's becoming a wise one, thus she's becoming like Aiel.
She'll have just toe all around.
Look at Chris understanding Gieto. Look at this. Yeah. First time you're actually understanding this.
I know if Godwin's in defeat, he's going to have some big toes.
And then she's going to have toe for putting Godwin where he is. Like, there's just toe all around. She's just toeing it up.
Yep.
What do you guys like? Jam there. Godwin likes feet. Okay.
Because Egwene's got a lot of toe.
There you go.
So Egwene bursts into the Sun Palace, goes finds Rand, and Rand's just like, whatever. So very arrogant about it, you know, like, yeah, I'm going to meet with them. And they're discussing. She's like, well, you have to be really careful. You should be. And Rand's like, what? Should I just meet with your spy, Aes Sedai? You know, the secret Aes Sedai that you don't think I'm supposed to know about, that I know about? Like, I'm supposed to trust them more? Yeah, okay. Like, Rand's definitely, I mean, in a previous chapter, he's already said this, that he's kind of wrote her off as an Aes Sedai as well. Like, she's become more and more like an Aes Sedai. He doesn't trust Aes Sedai. He's already starting to put a wedge between him and Egwene. That's been said in the text. So, and this kind of adds a little bit to it, but it's definitely...
But there's still some of that, you know, back from home connection because...
Oh, sure.
If it was any other real Aes Sedai coming in there and talking to him like this, he'd have a very different tone. And there was even 100%. A little playfulness about the dusty, smeared face and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
But you definitely see the transition. You know, not just in the words, what he thought before, but, you know, and how he treats her and how all of this unfolds. Like, yeah, I'm going to take your advice. Yeah, sure. That's what I got planned.
But there was still a little bit of that, like, childishness coming from her. Like, I won't have him see me clean myself. What?
Yeah.
For real?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's so weird. Like, she felt embarrassed or that would give him higher ground if she cleaned herself in front of him. Like,
I'm like,
since you were a kid,
your biggest asset would have been to clean yourself in front of him. Then he might have listened.
All I know is when I first started doing this dating thing again and went on a hike one weekend with this girl that every 10-15 minutes would stop and fix her makeup, I was like, you lied on your profile about loving the outdoors. No, I was, anyways, didn't return her calls. No.
Nope. You have toe.
Chris is going to turn to Oprah over here, hand out toe everywhere.
You have toe. Yeah.
You have toe. You have toe.
It's kind of what it's like.
Easy to earn. Yeah.
It's very easy. So, well, they're talking this briefly, but it's cut short because Samara comes in to notify them that the Aes Sedai are there early. And Rand's kind of a little upset about this because, you know, he's like, I'm supposed to summon you. Like, and Egwene had just finished saying, like, about the respect she has to say to Aes Sedai, and Aes Sedai control everything. And when they summon you, you go, especially the Amran seat, and yada, yada, yada. And Rand's just like, whatever, I'm the Dragon Reborn. People dance to whatever I say, not to what they say. Who cares?
This is where he played it wrong. They would have waited that hour and 5 minutes outside for me because I wouldn't have let him in right away to begin with. They would have waited at least 5 minutes after their hour. Now you got an hour and 5 minutes to wait in the hall.
That's a good point.
And while you do that, invite people in and have loud meetings about really menial shit. Like what color the blind should be. Like, yeah, right. And make sure they can hear it all.
Oh, yeah. That's the game of houses right there. That's some Dice Time Mar shit.
Yeah. who better to do it to than Aes Sedai?
Sounds like someone's been sales before.
Maybe.
He also, right, during this conversation with Egwene, right, he's totally talking to Luz Theron or hearing Luz Theron, right?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't she notice him?
Yeah, like, talking to himself. And she's like, has he gone mad already? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you are there. You are there. Answer me. I know you're there. He's there. It's like,
we haven't hit the spot yet where Luz and Rand are talking and Rand lets him know, like, you're in my head. And Luz is like, wait, what?
That's next chapter.
I'm... Yeah.
Okay.
You're ready for it.
Get there because that's a big
we'll get there.
Right Ian, there. I think I'm equally excited about chapter 28 only because we're actually having like a live reading of 29 and 30. So that means really good shit better go down. So
I am a dark friend.
Yeah. Tom, Joe, and Jen, let me tell you. So I got this is where we're at, right? Marked off. from the very beginning of this book, everybody's
we started that in January.
Ooh, you just wait. It's going to be so exciting. Ooh, just wait. It's going to be so exciting.
You're waiting.
And it probably does somewhere in here. But all of this here has been interesting. There's been some nuggets in there.
It's really like the last little
chunk. Well, you're actually getting into it. So I'll just let you know that it's going to get real exciting very soon. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know. I mean, they do things very slowly on this show.
The next set of chapters, your next episode, there's some good exciting things that happen.
Mm-hmm. I
believe you all. But every single guest that has come on from, again, the beginning, they're like,
we also get mega fans as guests. So, like, everyone, like, gets excited about, like, the buttons on a Gwen's dress. Like,
right.
Oh, that chapter. That's our call choices.
Now, I'll tell you, the chapter of her in the dream was well worth it. We finally had a moment.
There's been some good ones.
Wait, which one was this?
When she got pregnant
by in her dreams.
Oh, when she gets pulled into Gowan's dream?
Crossover with God.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So what are you saying, Tom? Were we reading?
No, I think that I will say I don't have the chapters memorized, so I don't know if it's going to be like whatever it is or whatever. But somewhere in this book, somewhere. There are things that I think everyone thinks are exciting.
See, I gotta appreciate
that. No, we're not just putting you on.
Yeah. He's not like next week. It's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere.
I think everybody forgets, like, and even when I was doing my recent reread, I forgot, like, I thought this one part happened was a much larger part of the book, and then I realized no, it's only like a short part towards the very end.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there's other stuff before that's exciting too. But
yeah.
And here's my one question. Will I get my Perrin chapter?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the other thing. Everybody said this would be very Perrin heavy. That's impossible, even if the rest of the book is about Perrin.
Heavy. No, it's just that last book, Perrin wasn't in the Fires of Heaven at all.
Yeah,
it's in this book. It's all
compared to the Fires of Heaven.
It's very Perrin heavy. You know, if you go from.
I mean, we have his father and mother-in-law and still haven't had him yet. Like.
Yeah. If you go from zero to three, I mean, that's a threefold increase. I mean, that's a big increase. So, you know, it's a lot more.
Fair enough.
But you get Rand meeting some Aes Sedai, Tower Aes Sedai. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff here.
The scene Bad coming up pretty
in the
fun.
Next chapter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We'll get there.
All right. Take a stand, Alan.
So the Aes Sedai show up. Egwene starts freaking out because she's like, they can't see me. They're after me, too. Like, I have to leave right now. Is there a way to sneak out? He's like, oh, just stand right there. Stay still, don't move an inch. And he's like, why, what? And doesn't realize what's happening for a couple seconds and then realizes, oh, crap, he just weaved something around me. And she looks in the mirror and realizes she's gone.
Well, first you have, the Aiel gasp. Like, I thought she was naked at first. So I said, oh. Or maybe he, had transfigured her into another person, like, to look like an Aiel. Like, that's what I thought. That would have been
I didn't even think of that.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Like, he transformed her into, like, bear or something.
Or just made her look like an old lady or whatever.
Something like that.
But, I like how when she realizes she's wrapped in it, she's terrified of touching Rand's taint.
Yes.
Like, she just, I'm going to get the taint on me. Taint. Perfect.
But, I mean, I guess, you know, invisibility is cool, too.
Yeah. It wasn't up to Chris's standards. He's like, nah, it just wasn't quite.
You know, it'd be one thing if you had a guy giving her a cloak and then she could, like, run around and do mischievous stuff. Then it'd be my kind of thing. But
cloak of invisibility?
Yeah, something like
that. Favorite magical item. One of my favorite magical items.
Exactly. But it's that he just made her invisible. It's like, you could
and kind of tied it to the floor so she couldn't really go anywhere.
You could have just made a gate and let her go through it. And then at least she would have seen it and felt it.
What
There's
you think
a lot
about
of things they could have done.
I think she wanted to. He probably knew that she would want to.
She said
stay
she'd rather go
anyway.
Under the bed or something, didn't she? Didn't she say, like, I'd rather hide under the bed?
I think he suggested that. But he gives good reason. Rand's not, and you're right, he's not a dummy all the time. You know, he preferred Egwene being there listening. Maybe she'll notice something that he doesn't notice. He still has as much as we just talked about him pushing her away because she's Aes Sedai. He still sees a usefulness and probably still trusts her more than other Aes Sedai. So you know, I believe what he's saying, like, hey, Egwene, just watch, listen, let me know if you see something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at the same time, at the same time, I think maybe he is an asshole and he knew what he was about to do and he wanted her to watch him do it.
I think, yeah. He's like, watch how nice I can be.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Little rage against the machine. All right, go Rand.
Two conflicting things that I want to ask your opinion on in regards to possibly Rand's motivation in this scene, right? Regarding Egwene. Right, Egwene. So one, do you think he's sincere in his belief that, like, oh, she's Aes Sedai now, so that's why I'm going to push her away? You know, or is that, like...
I think that's the cover.
That's the cover, the self-justification.
He is pushing people away because he's afraid of hurting people. That is his justification for Egwene, is that, you know, I can't love her like I did at one point.
Can't protect her.
I can't protect her the way I'd like to. So I'm going to use this excuse of her being an Aes Sedai to get her out of my way. That way, when I do what I need to do, I can do it without her being in the way at all, be it her judgment or being her needed to be protected, quote unquote.
And so, maybe not an excuse. Maybe there's a little bit of depth to it in that he's realizing, one, nobody's really safe around him. He cares about her. So we saw it earlier with him trying to push Matt and Perrin away and everything like that. Maybe he's realizing, so she has a place to be and belong. She has people and somewhere she could be a part of, and she would be safer there than with him. So yes, it's because she's more and more Aes Sedai, but maybe it's more of a love thing and he wants to protect her and is pushing her away. Not necessarily the distrust.
It's likely that had Moraine never shown up, they may have been a couple.
Sure. You know. Oh yeah.
Or they more likely they'd be dead, Chris.
Well, Rand didn't show up. It's frolic and the whole situation.
Period. Well, Rand wouldn't have been dead because he's Taviran, but Egwene would have been dead.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the chances would have been higher for sure.
And then Alan, to answer your question, he rips a hole through the weave. She asked them, "How do you make the gateway?" He's like, "Yeah, it's tear hole."
Yeah.
Like, which terrified her.
Of course it would.
But he got terrified by the way she mentioned it. She's like, oh, like, she was talking about Teleren Riyadh, and he goes, whoa, that sounds like literally like moving or rearranging the pattern. And he was like, I can't, there's no way I could do that.
No, yeah. But if you put the two together, now maybe there's some real power in that.
Okay.
But, you know, there's not a woman in the world that wants you to tear open the hole. Too much.
Yeah, you're supposed to ease into it.
Both of you guys just put your hands over your
Anyways, so that was a really good analogy for what happens next, though, Ian, that you brought up earlier with Rage's machine. You know,
yeah.
Because that's exactly what happens. It's like, I don't know if you guys knew this. Like, BBC One invited Rage's machine on live BBC TV. In England back in like the early 2000s. And they said, but as long as you don't swear. And they said, okay. And they signed contracts. And like the first thing they did when they were on stage is immediately went into fuck you on Twitch.
Yes.
When they told Jim Morrison not to say that like girl, you couldn't get much higher.
Yeah.
They told him not to say it and he said he wouldn't. And then he of course belted it out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Simpsons when they're like, instead of what is it? It's Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. Or
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
I forget. What I get, I want to get it. Put it in.
I gotta get and put it in you. What about what I want is that I want to hug and kiss you. That's better for everyone.
Slightly different.
Yeah.
Or South Park saving up all of its curse words for one epic episode.
Yeah.
So the Aes Sedai come in. Three of them. You get Corrin, is it Nessun? Is that shit? And Galena. Of course, Egwene doesn't know who the third one is. They bring a chest of gold with them as a gift. And Rand acts like he's really, really appreciative or really, really kind of like Googling over the gold. Do you think that's an act? I mean, I can't.
First and foremost, he just introduced himself as Randall Thor.
Yeah.
And they came in with their titles. You know, I'm emissary of the White Tower, yada, 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 yada. He's like, hey, I'm Rand. How's it going?
But and I love also how Jordan writes that, though. It was almost more powerful because everybody there knew what the title should be.
Was a marked contrast. They had not mentioned the Dragon Reborn, and neither had he. But somehow his leaving it out seemed to make the title whisper faintly.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it like echoed behind him and he never said it. Like that's, anyways, I love that part.
Also, yeah. Before we got to that, Rand, the first thing Rand said to them was like, stop channeling.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And he's like, no, I'm serious. Stop. And they're like, we're not channeling. I was like, no, if we want to do this, this is how it's going to be. Otherwise, get out.
Like, you're not going to channel in front of me. Yep.
That's it.
He's like, don't even hold Sidar, right?
I don't even hold it. Yeah.
And so, like, but they release it and he's like, okay, we're just going to go ahead and start over. We're going to pretend like you just walked in and you weren't disrespecting me by channeling in here. Yeah. And like, even then they're like, there's no way he actually could tell. That was just luck.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
There's no way he can tell. Total coincidence.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, yep. So off from Gold, he gets excited, fake excited, I think, and tell him he has to come to the tower, which of course he goes, oh, sure, but I'm ready. I feel like it.
I was kind of planning on it anyway. So this is convenient. You know, I got a couple things to do.
Yeah.
But, so if y'all can just fuck off for a little bit, about a mile away. At least.
Mm-hmm. He was like, he was acting like an Aes Sedai with that. He's like, yeah, I'll come when I'm ready.
Yes.
Very Aes Sedai way to answer that question. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
It doesn't even work.
I'll come when I'm ready.
That has always been the case.
Anyway, so... So what do you think about this whole interaction?
What?
Humble as a mouse is the way he said he would be. Yeah. I'd love to meet that mouse.
Oh, you also, lessons. Right? There's also something else, too, he does, right, before the chest, right? Well, actually, I think it's right around that time, right? He starts inspecting all the servants, right?
Oh, yeah, just like, to make sure they're not Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's and Egwene catches on to that.
Yeah, like Elaine's starting to think like, Gwen's starting to think like, oh, maybe he's not as dumb as I thought he was.
Yeah.
Until he opens his mouth.
And then he uses Sidene.
Yes, to close the chest. So as much as he was like, you will not channel in front of me, he had no problem doing it in front of them, and they didn't even say nothing about it. So he's letting them know the power structure here.
Mm-hmm.
As much as Egwene got all pissy with him, like, you wool-headed, blah, 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 and, like, cursed him out, all he did, he treated them the way they normally treat everyone else. Mm-hmm. So how is that not fair? Like, what's wrong with that? Giving them a little taste of their own medicine. I mean, I know they hated it, but now they know how everybody else feels when they walk into it.
And I love the way he's been phrasing this. He's like, when I reach the tower, yes, I look forward to the day I stand in front of the tower. It will take a little time, you understand. I have commitments to meet here first in Andor and elsewhere. But yeah, sure, I'll be at the tower. No problem. He's not saying he's coming to visit our new Amarlin and to bow down at her feet or to create a truce. He's like, nah, I'll be there. Wait till I get there. Till I bring my group of guys with me when I get there. And I'm gonna bring some other late. Like, yeah, I'll be there. All right.
Yep.
I know there's a dark friend in there. I feel like he already knows it. He's like, I'm gonna be there in full force. And when I knock on your door, I'm gonna be knocking with a few thousand.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be the end.
So I got a question that y'all won't answer, but I'm going to ask it anyways. So we know about the, if you got 13 channelers, especially 13 female channelers, they can do XYZ pretty much to anybody, right? Mm-hmm. But what if Rand does show up? Like, let's say he gets a thousand dudes that can even channel just a little bit. And if it's the same theory as with the female channelers, even if they can channel just a little bit, if he gets them to link, does that mean he can?
They can't. Men can't link without a woman being in the circle.
Oh yeah, but he's got
he's
some.
He's got women a going.
Are oh, you saying talking women. About the female eyes to die joining?
Right. So he, yeah. he probably has a couple he can link in there. But I'm saying if they yeah. link, will that be enough for him to defend against 13 or more? Like, will it counteract?
Yeah, I think yeah. so. I think that's yeah. how it works. It's okay. just like it's just basically like I think it's 13 linked together.
I think 13 overpower. On one.
Yeah, can yeah over, no matter like what the power difference is, it's just like they can always overpower the
world. Right. With men, I mean, this is getting more meta type stuff that it's not really spoilery, but yeah, I mean, so with men, like because Joe mentioned a little bit, so with men and women together, you can link more than 13.
Yes, and we have well, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like connects. There's a certain piece you got to put in there to keep going, or else it
falls apart. Yeah. Or a human centipede.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Even better.
It's a good question from Zul. Chris, do you think that Rand plans on attacking the White Tower or the Black Tower? Or with the men?
Intimidating. I said yes in the comments, but intimidating them is a better word to use. Now, if he discovers that there's a dark friend, or worse yet, that there is a chosen one there, then yes, I can see him all out.
Okay. Fighting. If there's for a second.
Yeah, I can't see Rand finishing his chores, then going, okay, I'm ready to go, and go with this big escort that the Aes Sedai have. Mm-hmm. I can see him zapping into the White Tower with his crew, and they're mainly there, kind of with that mindset I was just thinking about. They're mainly there to make sure the Aes Sedai can't gang up on him. So mm-hmm. I see him going, but on his terms. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sure.
Not necessarily to fight or take over, even if it's just to have a conversation. It's a
I see him going soon without them even knowing. Just popping in, probably just casual visit. Like, hey, how's it going,
that'd
guys?
Be, right, that'd, just be, like that'd be cool.
Gateway right into the Ammerlin's chambers.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'd love up? To see that.
Hey, what's up, Elida?
Because yeah. they don't even know he can use gateways and travel. Because they're talking about how long the road ahead of them is and things like that. Like, they don't even know he has that ability.
Like, well, they know something's up, right? Because there's
rumors they know something's up. Going back and forth. Are appearing in different places, yes. But they don't yeah. know how it's happening. Or,
well. Yeah, but look how he sprinkles that in there. He's like, I've got some commitments, you know, here in Camelin, and I got to bounce around for a little bit. I got to take care of these things in all these places.
Yeah.
So even he's kind of hinting at it, throwing in their face, like, I'm going to jump around a bit, but I'll get back to you. Like,
now y'all can leave. I'm done with you.
Yep. It says stay away from me at this point. Don't come back. Yeah. Yeah. So
don't call me. I'll call you.
And then what do you think like, as yeah and that's as they're leaving, you know, he throws out one little like almost a whispered like how's Elida doing or something like
Alviarin. Galena responds, a little clever, there, Rand.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a tactic, you know, when interrogating or when you're interrogating but don't want to seem like you are. You know, you can randomly throw those things in there and see what kind of response you get. So it's pretty slick on Rand's part.
Well, you think that was a slip up on Galena's part or like Rand's Tavirinus?
Gosh, you're getting me down the theory rabbit hole. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's where my brain just went. So I'll say really, as I was reading, I gave all the credit to Rand. I'll say that.
I sometimes watch these YouTube videos, and it's like people try to take down scammers. And there's like one where he's like talking to a scammer, and he's like, don't talk to me like you're my mother. And he's like, oh, your mother? You mean Sandra that lives on Fifth Avenue? And they're like, like that little dagger, like, nah, what do you think about it?
But I mean, we later find out she's really not friends with Alviar.
Right. No, she's not.
So to give Rain any type of credit, it's just like,
he just started writing
too much. You got to give Egwene some credit. She's like, don't believe that.
Yeah.
Don't believe that to save you. Like, Egwene has got a certain level of sharpness to her that she didn't have before. Mm-hmm. And I really do see all the potential in her if she can just get out of her own way. Like, I can see her being a major player and potentially, like I said, either being the next Ammerlin or being the one to stop the Ammerlin. One of the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then of course we had this after all this, the Aes Sedai leave and Egwene, you know, comes out and kind of scolds Rand for
the way he acted. Runs right through the taint.
Yeah.
Covered in taint. Got it all over. kind of smells of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not pleasant. So anything from all this before we switch over to this last little conversation with, Nathan's point of view?
Well, he's like, I did exactly what you wanted, like smiling at her the whole time. Like, you know, I didn't tell on you. Like, I answered the questions, like got rid of them. You know what? I'll even sneak you out of here in my laundry baskets, you know, just put my underwear on your head.
To carry out.
Put my loin cloth over your face and we'll see you later.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'll walk out of here on my own 2 feet.
Yep. So then we switch over to the Aes Sedai that just left. And they're discussing that they sensed Egwene's presence there. They think it's Moraine or this mysterious green sister.
Egwene's presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nisun is the only one who realized
She's the one to watch out for. She's our trouble child.
That's what Egwene said, right? She said Nisun's the dangerous one.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of her.
We end this chapter them just, you know, then yeah, ending this meeting, but kind of recapping what just happened.
This seems like I'm just gonna collect more specimens. Y'all leave me alone. Y'all are dense.
She also note something about she asked Alina about Alviarn, right? Doesn't she mention?
Mm-hmm. She does. Yeah. Reds are very rarely will have friends outside their Aja. And,
Yeah, and she like files it. She like makes a mental note of that.
Yeah,
she says something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think they thought it could also be the mysterious green, which it really is, the mysterious green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just not a real green.
But don't you think she's gonna become a green?
That's what she says she would pick, right? She said she'd be green.
She says she would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she goes straight to Amberlynn. I think she gets discovered, busted, back to Tarvalon, but that's at the same time when we merge with the rebels and somehow the negotiation gets her in the seat.
They punish her by making her armor.
But if that's the only way to bring the, you know, the rebel faction together with the Empire, then
because she's also accepted by the wise ones, so then you're kind of bringing all the ladies together.
Mm-hmm. All the channelers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got the milkshake.
Yeah. Brings all the channelers to the yard.
But to your earlier point, will she still be accepted by the wise ones when they find out that they've been lied to?
She's got to do something to fix that toe.
As long as she meets her toe, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot of toe.
Her toe somehow.
It's a lot of toe.
She's lying to a lot of people, Egwene.
And that's like the worst way to get
powerful people.
Well, lying and spying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But does she lie or does she just perpetuate a thought?
That's a lying.
No.
That's lies totally lies by omission are still lies.
Ah, two totally different things.
I don't know. I teach my kids lies by omission are the same thing.
I hope your fiance is
sometimes worse.
She knows. She has to be on her toes with me. Why she picked me, I do not know. Why she stick with me, I should say, I don't know. But
yeah, lying by omission is the same thing. In my book, at least. Mm-hmm. So anything from this chapter? Any questions you guys have for these guys? Jen, Joe, Tom?
I'll just a quick thought. What do you think's going to happen with this particular, right? The Aes Sedai coming to visit Rand. You know, what's going to happen after this? With the Aes Sedai and Rand, those Aes Sedai and Rand.
I'm more concerned with the why they're channeling in the house and what the channeling is all about. Are they storing power? Right. Are they creating something? Are they?
They're making a golem.
Like what? What is it that they're doing in there? Is what I'm more concerned about because I see them getting fed up with Rand, and whatever it is they're doing is going to play a huge role.
Mention there's a plan B. If he did say no. But they didn't say what it was. I said there is a plan B.
Yeah, that's
right. He didn't technically say no. So, like, how impatient are they going
to
be?
Well, and they can't harm him because he's not a dark friend. So it's got to be some method to capture him.
Well, they all agreed, right, that we need to stick with the plan, right? Because I think that was somewhere at the end here where they were talking about, like, what to do. And they were like, we got to stick with the plan. Let's stick with the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all agreed on that.
So
what is the plan?
What's the plan?
What is the plan?
Capture him some way is the goal, I'm sure.
What's the plan, Jen?
The golem.
Jen, what's the plan?
Jen, what's the plan?
I'm
telling you the plan.
Jen, what's the plan?
Jen's They're going to lure to the white Raffo. Power
Raffo.
With the power of music.
The power of rock.
The power of rock.
The pick of destiny.
Yeah, right.
How about the power to move you?
They're going to do a rock montage. And before,
dude, if they cast Jack Black as his man, I'm going to lose my shit.
Oh my God. That would be really good.
He'd be Pater. He'd be a perfect Pater.
As the counter gleeman, Jack Black, and you have that Tom, you know, and Jack Black. Yeah,
I'm all in on it.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Along with, I still need to go back and do. I just don't have time to do it. We've talked about it that I want to go back. I think I talked about your show, like add laugh tracks to the whole season. Oh, yeah. Like a Seinfeld spoof. We're gonna do it. I'll probably get demonetized and our threatened copyright strikes and all sorts of things.
Oh, but it'll be worth it.
It will be. I'll make a separate YouTube account just for it so I can let it just die and fall flames and not care. All right. Anything else before we move to the next one? All right. Let's get to chapter 28, letters. We got a ruby hilted dagger as our chapter symbol.
Good old Pat and Fane.
We know our boy Fane's coming.
Mm-hmm. We start with Rand, though. We're in Rand's point of view. And Rand's in a bad mood, you know, because of Luce Theron. yeah, because he's actually, I think, come to terms with the fact that Luce Theron's real in his head. And he's his own person, and he's had restless nights of sleep, and him and Luce are definitely having this weird shouting match later on. But, yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, and he's like even worried about sleeping because he's not sure if he'll lose control.
Okay.
And that's bad because somebody like Rand definitely needs to get his rest. Not from a beauty standpoint, but just, you know, you're already risking going crazy. If you're already at a high risk of going crazy, losing sleep is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I have a question about this because I don't remember going back, like the Berylane stuff, why like Berylane's avoiding him. Is that still going back to the shadow, beginning of Shadow Rising? Is that why she's avoiding him?
I think no, that's because of the hanging of what's his name.
Yeah, since the hanging, she's been
when the Aiel, when she didn't pass judgment, and he had to pass judgment, and he's like, why didn't you do it? Like, why'd you wait for me? Like, this is against the law. Like, so, like, and she's been sheepishly avoiding him since that.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I was like, is this still from the Shadow Rising when the mirror attacked him, the mirror images attacked him?
No, it's from when she was a place in charge of Kyriad, and then she did carry her duties and ran kind of dressed up.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Like Mangwin or something like that, right?
Mangan.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, there we go. It's in chat.
Mangan. Now it's hanging.
Hanging Mangan.
I'll be here all night, folks.
Yeah. So Rand forms a gateway, goes back to Camelin. So Dots in from Kyrian back to Camelin. And he gets there. Avian is there and is not happy. Because last time he left, he's like, don't tell Avian I'm leaving, and left without her. And now he's back. And she's
not even the important part. It's not that she's not happy, it's that she's not clothed.
Naked. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking when I read the books now, I think of these scenes and I'm like, are they going to make them naked in the show? That's what I think of every time.
I hope so. Anyway, didn't he leave with a letter first? Didn't he get a letter before he left? We need to make sure you.
Oh yeah, he did.
Letters keep popping off.
He got a letter from, you know, was it a river folk? No.
One of the wise,
sea
folk.
The sea folk.
Yeah.
And he just keeps avoiding them.
Oh, wait, no. He got another letter from, what's her face?
It was from one of the Aiel brought it, the letter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh no, it was Mistress Hoffer, right?
Yeah, Mistress Hoffer.
The second letter.
Yeah, from the Sea Folk.
Yeah.
Sea Folk letter.
Yeah. There's letters everywhere.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Appropriate name for the chapter.
So yeah, Avian is naked and runs off to get clothed, and it like immediately comes right back after like 5 seconds, fully clothed, and had her hair done.
Yes. He makes note of that.
He makes note of it. Like
that's quick.
Huh.
Okay. Now, did she really do her hair really quick, or is Rand just so in love with her that no matter what her hair looks like, he thinks it's gorgeous?
Yes. Did she channel it real quick? Like,
she just threw it up in like a messy bun or something. Yeah. He likes that.
He likes that.
Those are pretty hot.
Like that.
Like, if you didn't try very hard. Like, you tried hard, but it doesn't look like you tried hard.
It's like being casual cool.
Yeah. Like a librarian, like a sexy librarian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's another way to go.
All you do is put the glasses on instant.
She had a pencil in the hair to hold it up.
Yeah. Take the glasses off, and then you put the one part, like the eye hole thing, the ear hook in your mouth.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
To the restroom. Okay,
we're done.
Okay, take a minute. Sexy librarians.
All right. So, yeah. So, Avita comes back.
Guys got really quiet there.
You're all thinking about the librarians in your life.
Your librarian, Avienda.
Yeah. So, I had this English teacher.
It's a good spinoff up show, right? Sexy librarian, Avienda.
We had an English teacher.
I was waiting for Ian to jump in. Like, we...
Wait, you had an English teacher or you had an English teacher?
Well, until I'm beyond.
I did it. I did it Godwin and Egwene style. Only in my dreams.
It's more than just a dream. Anyway.
She might be listening, so I'm going to not say anything else.
She might listen to this. Luce Theron.
Very proud.
Yeah. No, she knows about our podcast. But. Yeah, we talked about it.
And she's big into reading fantasy, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh.
Yeah. She's read a lot. Boys,
I didn't know.
No, she knew.
She knew.
She had a milkshake. All the boys.
Anyway, so Luce Theron is in Rain's head a lot during this scene, talking to Avienda and talking about death. And Avienda starts to get a little worried about Rand. Yeah. And before Rand can really figure anything out, Luce flees his mind, and Rand says, "Nothing's wrong." Typical guy answer. What's wrong? Nothing.
He just smashed his mirror while shaving, too. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
How cliche is that?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't we all done that?
Yeah.
Hey, isn't that just a normal Tuesday?
Over the fact, though, that Luce leaves him with the death. Death comes. That's very important to think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, death comes. Wait,
I mean, does that have anything to do with being around Avienda, or
no?
Is it still like a
literally death was on its way?
Yeah, I think Luce is sensing. Yeah,
which means that Rand should be able to develop that power at some point too.
Well, he does, and Rand does sense it as well later. But yes,
yeah, but
not as soon. Later.
Yeah,
yeah.
Luce Theron's always talking about
Luce Theron, who's a crazy person, who's like a second soul in the body. Who shouldn't have senses is like, hey, yo, guess what? You got trouble coming.
Is Luce a bit of a coward? Yeah. If that's true, doesn't that make him a bit of a coward?
He runs away?
Yeah.
That might be why he's never ended it yet.
Brave.
Well, he's always yelling. He's kind of just crazy. I mean, he's like, I'm Luce Theron Telamon. I am me.
I always picture him like running down a hallway, disappearing into like a tiny door.
This is also the same room.
It's like a room in Rand's head.
Isn't it also the scene where like Luce is like, wait, who are you? He goes, I'm Rand. Like, wait, you don't know who I am? You're in my head. Is I'm where? Like,
yeah. So that's this part. So I got hung up on this quite a bit. Like, and I don't know how to describe it, but it's not just like a echo of Luce Theron. Like it's his full consciousness. And with that back and forth, they're not merged at all. Like they're both occupying the like space in his head and in his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what the implications of that are, but like I guess I didn't quite consider it that way before.
Two souls, one body.
Yeah, that's never good. But more importantly,
I saw that on YouTube, right, Tom?
Yeah. Man, I mean, if it's post Taco Bell, sometimes it does feel like your soul leaving your body. So maybe, you know, if it's a
I guess a couple times.
I'm really curious for real, like where, like, you know, I was just joking with Jen that I don't think that there's like a room inside Rand's head, where, like, you know, Luz Theron is like getting his morning paper reading and just yelling crazy stuff out the window. But like, what do you guys think is going on here? Like, with, like, do you think it, like you were saying, like, it's two souls in one body, or like, I'm.
Is but Luz isn't of you know, is the voices of his previous life? Is it two souls in one body? Is it?
Well, I mean, we have
is it,
we
yeah, do like, know
as well that time travel is a thing, and so
yeah, because Tam does it.
Yeah,
Tam does it all the time.
Oh, time traveling Tam.
I forgot about yeah. Tam. Sorry.
Like,
obviously, that was book one, bro.
Yeah, come on, catch up. You've not
that was 3 years ago.
I forgot all about time traveling, Tam.
Yeah, so
he's got a DeLorean.
Maybe this is the way they travel. Maybe people from the past or from the future like travel into the body of their
consciousness,
of their self,
like being John Malkovich.
Isn't that basically the whole plot of Assassin's Creed, the video game?
Exactly.
But isn't it interesting though that Luz Theron is confused about what's happening? Completely, or is that just part of that transitional phase where you are confused?
Or I would this whole world's been a big dream, and Luz is going to wake up in the actual world having to battle.
More importantly, so, okay, if I assume, which I do, that it's like two consciousness like existing inside one head, but obviously Luz comes and goes. When he goes, where the fuck is he going?
Right, where does he run away to?
Right, so there's a place that he goes. Question mark? I don't know.
He gets pushed back into the back of his mind, I guess, kind of.
He just sits down in a chair and gets quiet.
Back in the day where, I gotta remember it.
Time traveling Theron, the triple T. It works.
It's just like where I push down all of my, you know, my own
He woosahs him out of his head. Luz Theron, woosah.
I'll tell you, the only reason I asked is because this was something in my first read, especially, you know, around around
that Quantum Leap style
that I was really like, I was really trying to figure out myself. So I was just curious about your takes, you know. I think it's really
I've dabbled in some Matrix type theories. I don't know that that's it. I don't really feel that as much anymore, but I guess could be something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, he knows stuff that Rand doesn't know, so there's something going on.
Quantum leap. Scientist finds himself trapped in the future, trapped in somebody else's body, keeps leaping body to body, trying to get back to his body because we like to potty.
So Luz Theron is... So they should have Luz Theron, Scott Bakula play Luz Theron then in the TV show.
Quantum Leap is one of my favorite TV shows. I'm all in on it.
So after the whole interaction with Avienda, we start talking about a lot of toe, like a whole lot of toe.
Oh yeah,
all everybody has toes when you think about it. You got at least, well, on average 10. Not on average, there's probably more people with less than 10 toes than there are people that lose
legs and feet, so you can't just say everyone has toes.
Let's say on average 5. Okay. I think that's a low average.
That's a very low average.
Say 7.5.
Yeah, you're probably around 7.5, 8, I would say.
Yeah, we'll round up to 8.
Maybe on average, could 8 toes. Higher. Could be 9. Could be close.
It could be 9.5. I think most people do have 10 toes.
You got so pissed because I said 10 and you were like, we'll put 9.5.
There's the occasional 11. There is the occasional 11 or 12.
Right.
I mean, people do have extra toes sometimes.
But I think a lot more people have less than 10 than have more than 10.
Yeah, a lot of GA toe in this though, right? With Sulin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Avienda starts talking about toe. Sulin starts talking about toe. Sulin has toe.
But at the end of the day, it's not the Aiel and the Aiel culture that Rand doesn't understand. It's just women.
That's right. They make fun of them.
And then Rand makes the big mistake of asking if he has toe. And they're like, whoa. Like, that is not how this works.
You don't know that you have toe and you have to ask.
Then you got toe. That's the worst. Yeah.
That's the worst.
You know what this is saying? This is why Aiel are so freaking quiet. Because like, keep your damn mouth shut. If you just don't speak, you can't get toe. if you stand there as still as you can, you'll never get toe.
I feel like toe might eventually still run into you standing there. Like, it's that complicated.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to take much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stood there too long.
Yep. Yep.
He looked at me wrong. We have toe.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, any thoughts on the toes?
Big ones, small ones, some the size of your head.
Yeah, I think Jordan just wanted to remind us about GA toe. Like, yeah, he has to remind everybody every once in a while.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Rand does have a level of toe with Avienda. Avienda's got big toe with Rand and with Elaine. This toe's clearly going to cause issues when they have to become sister wives, unless, she can't be forgiven for toe because that creates more toe. So she's just gonna have to be like the lesser wife or something. So,
What do you think about Sulin's toe? We didn't even talk about that much.
Yeah, that's where it all started, right?
Yeah, it all started.
We kind of saw that coming when they were dipping out to go to
Shadowlug off.
Look, they made her wear a dress, or she chose to wear a dress. Now that's like the ultimate.
I think it's funny that she thinks that is the ultimate way to.
Especially, doesn't Avienda wear like a dress like thing now? Don't the wise ones wear dress like items? Like
they wear the skirts.
I don't think it's quite like
this. Not a dress. Yeah.
That's not what I pictured.
Oh no, she's wearing like a servant's outfit, right? Like a servant's dress.
Yeah.
Do you think does she meet her toe faster if it's worse? If it's like the worst thing she could possibly imagine.
Yeah, I mean, she's got to get back to serving Rand as quickly as possible. Yeah. So. That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy.
I just feel like the way they handle their toe is the same way like guys handle losing fantasy football. Like you have to do something crazy, like go to a restaurant with a sex doll or something like that because you lost your fantasy football league. Like,
yeah. It's kind of obscure. Like,
has that happened before?
Oh yeah, you ever seen videos of like that stuff happening? Like where someone loses fantasy football and they have to go like
get a tattoo. Yeah. You ever watch the league?
You watch.
Oh man, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I feel like that's how Jordan wrote Toe. Batman. Like, oh, you have to shave your head. Oh, you have to wear a dress to work. Like, I mean, stuff like that. Like, definitely very '90s vibe. Like, you lost a bet, you got to do this. Anyway. So, anything from all the toe before we move to Rand finally, talking about the letter, the Seafolk letter that we've been talking about?
Well, they did. There's a part right before the letters, right? Where Mistress Hoffer mentions about these nobles coming into the city.
Yes. Okay.
She names a few of the nobles. I don't, this is where I was mentioning before. There's a noble named Aemlyn, where Jordan just, it's just Camelin without the C. Jordan was really reaching for names there. But I think he mentions, right, Rand says, oh, these are like all of the nobles who opposed, who were angry at Morghese and with Lord Gabriel was...
Gabriel. Yeah.
Yeah.
But none of them like sent an announcement, an official party or anything like that. They're just in town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which Rand's not upset about. He's like, that's cool. But now I think his timeline is... As far as finding Elaine and getting her in power, he feels it's kind of sped up. He's like, all right, that's not too bad. These are the right kind of people you want there, but shit, I really need to get Elaine.
Yeah. He keeps thinking about her, right? He's thinking about, oh, I wish Tom were here. And he's like, if Tom were here, he'd be with Elaine.
Well, then he's like,
yeah.
If I find Elaine, I find Tom. Or if I find
Elaine.
So he's got the right thought in mind. And clearly he needs to have her in place so that, A, he's not being bombarded and having a whole bunch of expectations put on him. But then, the second, he can kind of leave that to her and be able to do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and he's somewhat keeping the peace there by promising certain people that, yes, I do intend to put Elaine in power. And so the more time goes by and that doesn't happen, some of... I won't call them his supporters, but some of the people that aren't acting against him, they might act against him because they don't trust him.
Yeah.
So he's under the gun for sure.
The smart thing would be is to tell Egwene that he wholeheartedly wants to work with the other Aes Sedai, because then they're going to be more likely to disclose where they are.
But does
if he knew that's if he knew that's where Elaine was, maybe he would. But he doesn't know that's where Elaine was because Egwene won't tell him. this, we talked about this before, like Egwene, yeah, you make promises, but at some point you got to realize like there's certain things that outweigh that promise.
I'm not saying you got to keep them. He's a king. Mm. He's a Lord Dragon. Like, we're not king of the world. Like, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. So, Seafook letters.
Yay.
Yeah. So he finally decides to take the letter out of his pocket and then decides immediately that Bashir should just go handle it to calm him down.
He's like, I don't, he says something to the effect of like, I don't want to deal with these women. They sound really angry. Something to that effect.
Yeah. So Bashir, go handle this.
I've got Bashir's stuff got enough titles, going on.
Like, you know, he'll be a respectable emissary here.
Have we run into the white spray before?
Yeah.
Was that the boat was it, that...
Well, the was spray. That the one that the girls were on? Oh, no. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's a different
spray. I might be using that just with spray.
Okay. Well, the spray is...
Bill Dillman's ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's might be where it gets confusing.
Yeah.
The letters are so vague, though. It's like, oh, the light willing, you will perhaps return to Camelot eventually. As I have traveled far to see, perhaps I will find time for it when you do. So it was like really cold. Like, now that you kind of slighted me, if I have the chance to see you, I will. And it's like, if it pleases the light, I will receive you on the deck of the White Spray at your earliest convenience. So it's like,
Yeah.
No. See, I didn't read it with that kind of attitude. I read it
my last
like,
email.
Yeah, I read Terminals. It. I read it. I read it from like the guy that's nervous about asking the girl out and doesn't want to risk rejection. So he only kind of hints at a meeting, like, you know, kind of like if, you know, cause you eat dinner and like sometimes I eat dinner and, you know, and sometimes I eat alone, but and that's okay if that's what you want to do. But like if you wanted to eat dinner with someone and, you know, together, if you're okay with it. And if not, neither am I, cause who does that? But if you are, like, call me. Like that's
two wave mistresses from two different clans. They're angry.
Well, I don't know. I see one of them, Zaida, is definitely angry. I don't know if Harine is angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd go with the non-angry one.
They're trying to hook him. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what that's all about. You know who he should really send? Matt's
gone.
No.
Yes. He should send Matt.
But it's Seafolk. No one cares. Seafolk suck. They're just so like, I hate the Seafolk. I'm sorry.
I fight the Seafolk.
But wait, let's dig into this, Joe. That was very
just annoying.
You know,
that's all I'm gonna say.
Kind of.
What if they? That he's gonna need at some point.
Yeah. Show me where they hurt you, Joe.
Yeah. What chapter?
Joe, he's like right there. That's right.
You know why? Because there's pain in my ass. That's
one of those air pinches. Bink. They got
So he also gets another letter right after this from the Queen of Gilladon, Queen Aliandra, which is very flowery. Cousin, I think is how it starts.
Yeah, I was so confused by this letter. I was like, wait, what is... I had to read this a few times and be like, what's going on here? Because I didn't remember this at all, so...
Yeah, yeah. Addresses him as cousin and says other things and basically makes it clear that she's going to support him.
I was very confused, too. I was like, oh, okay, this works, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm still in the don't trust anybody mode. I feel like I'll be there forever in these books. So I'm like, okay... The Semirag, like who's what chosen one is behind these letters?
Yeah, this is all like code, right? It's all written in code.
Yep. And then, but as he's reading, the more important thing happens because the door opens, but no one comes in. I love how Robert Jordan writes Batman. Like the door opens, no one enters. Rand just continues reading.
Said, I knew a gray man had entered. Like, because I listened to this part, I was like, oh, gray man. Because this happened before.
Yep, yep.
I'm like, why are they still trying to send Grayman to kill him? That was really my number one question. It's like, we have learned that this does not work.
I mean, they can go right past the Aiel with no problem at all.
Magnus. Well, who? Okay. Well, I got a question for you, Chris. First, I got two questions for you. Who sent the Grayman? It might be the more important thing. And was it really the intention for the Grayman to kill him?
Huh. It was this chick from Gilladon, and the Grayman's instructions were follow the letter because the letter's eventually going to get to him. Oh. And so the letter comes in, and right behind it is the Gray Man. And that, I mean, I was half joking about the Semirog thing being behind that, but I feel like it's going to be a Forsaken, obviously.
Yep. I agree with you. Yep. Definitely it's Forsaken. We do know that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't do that coincidence stuff. Here's a letter and a Gray Man. Suspect.
Could it also have been behind, like after Avienda?
Could it be? I mean, it could have. Did the Sea Folk? One of those wave mistresses, one of the Forsaken?
A dark friend?
Or
I only want to say no to that because we've been running into Gray Men like before they were really aware of Rand. And my mind is still assuming it's the same person that's sending them.
So semi-out.
Oh, you think that all of them are being sent by the same person?
I mean, obviously I could be wrong with that, but that's kind of, yeah, I guess that's what I've been thinking. Like that's their choice weapon, you know?
I think they mentioned, right, he thinks it's Samael, right, Rand?
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think it's like his answer to Rand killing his guy. And, you know, if he gets lucky and kills Rand early, great. If he doesn't, well, at least a tribe. Mm. And then, of course, there are other people that we know are still out and about lurking in the shadows that we'll get to at some point tonight. So,
Yeah.
Who knows? So maybe
all that power was to create a Gray Man. Maybe the Aes Sedai figured out how to create one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Then you probably got some Black Aja.
Yeah.
Like business going on here.
Ooh.
That'd be a lot. Or, well, so we also know that in the White Tower, there is one of the Forsaken.
Yeah.
At least according to Grendel.
Right. No, Grendel said Messina's in the tower.
Yeah. Right.
That was said. Yeah.
Maybe that was plan B.
Yeah. Which one of the, oh, it's one of these. Is one of these Tower Aes Sedai Messana?
Could be.
Ooh.
Masana, jacuzzi.
Well, let's not forget who actually killed the Gray Man. It wasn't Rand. Rand saw the Gray Man. He was getting ready to kill the Gray Man. And the Gray Man pulled a knife out. Then a fireball comes streaking by.
Well, Rand wrapped him up in wind and everything. Like Rand genuinely is, I'm going to capture him. And I'm going to figure out who's doing all this.
Mm-hmm. And being smart.
Flies by his head because our other mysterious, mischievous friend who has way too much control of the power of poor male.
He's such a cool character, though.
But I'm on Ian's team. I don't trust him anymore.
He's mad chill. He's always just like, you know, he lets go of the power. He doesn't care that Rand's holding a ton of the power. Luce Theron's just telling Rand constantly to kill him.
Kill him.
He's jealous. He thinks Tames
jelly
take over. Yeah, he's totally jelly.
How many movies have we seen? How many stories are out there where the hero is about to capture somebody that could reveal some really important information, and then one of his buddies kills the dude real quick and does the whole, I felt threatened, and I thought he was going to hurt you, but clearly did it just to cover up, like, revealing who he was.
Mm.
So, again, I know it's an even different theory than the – you know, Gray Man followed the letter, but I don't believe in coincidences. The fact that he was there. Then he got the whole Tavir and crap. So
he's like, yeah, I learned the trick. I learned how to travel through the gateway super quick.
Well, he's kind of known. He's known how to do that. Well, he picked up on it quick. Yeah, Rand showed him, but he picked up on it
really quickly. Yeah. We're supposed to be watching out for male channelers that pick up on stuff too quickly.
Yeah.
You think Taim's a dark friend?
At least
influenced by him. It's just very suspect.
I'm going to go one step further. Do you think he's one of the Forsaken?
Yeah, quite possibly. Maybe Damadrin.
Okay.
Training up Rand's army just so he can then flip the army on Rand.
Yeah, he's doing some Order 66 shit with him. Like as he's training him, he's kind of like putting this little thing. So he just says, "Execute Order 66," and they all turn
on. He's linking with them. He's bonding with them.
Yeah.
So then all
their power and use it to blast.
So then he wouldn't have been the one then to send the Gray Man, because that wouldn't make any sense, right?
No.
Yeah. Unless he sent the Gray Man intending to kill the Gray Man to get Rand more on his side.
Right. Right.
Smoke and mirrors.
Oh, thinking like he's going to save Rand to gain his trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
That's a timeless trick that's worked in many TV shows and books.
Yeah.
The old bait and switch.
Plus, the news he shows up with isn't even that great.
Yeah,
isn't that weird? Bro. Like, he just goes like, oh, there's a dude.
He can't channel yet, but he's going to channel. He's going to check it out.
This is super important. That's why I figured
I'm going to go now. He just leaves. He's like, I'm going to go now, too.
Also, didn't he, like, travel right into his bedroom?
His balcony.
Why? Why did he have to do...
He's creepy. I bet you he was hoping to catch, like, Avienda sleeping in there.
He's, like, looking through the curtains.
You think he comes when Rent's sleeping and just watches him?
He watches him through a picture, like the eyes come out of a picture.
Well, he very carefully climbs up and spoons him while he's sleeping.
Brant faces Avienda. Ooh, honey, yes, that's right.
He was coming to see if Avienda was there. That's my guess.
He must be into foot fetishes as well.
Yeah, he's into sexy librarians as well.
with
can you open a gateway like...
Here, ladies.
Can you open like a little one and listen through it?
I just peek through,
It's really creepy when you wake up and someone's like just watching you. I mean, I know Chris, you don't have kids yet. Do you guys all have kids?
Yeah.
So you guys experienced this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like you wake up younger. And your kid's just staring at you, and like oh, just
heavy breathing in your face.
Why? Like my dog's in the room.
I'm hungry. Like, I want breakfast. Like,
I'd be like, no, forget about it. Like 2 a.m. I'd like I'd open my eyes, and all of a sudden my daughter's just standing there staring at me at 2 a.m.
No, bro, she'd be across the room. We could have another one.
we have a camera in the kids' room, you know, like for the, you know, because they're toddlers, and, you know, the monitor or whatever. And my daughter knows exactly where the camera is, so she'll like be defiant and just stare at the camera. And like, because it's a night vision thing, like her eyes glow.
Yeah.
And she's like so freaky, she's just staring at the camera. Like,
that's creepy.
I can't look at it.
So I like your idea, Jen, where like you just open a small gateway up. Peer through it and you could peep on people. That's kind of creepy. They should use that in the book.
Creepaloo.
Just see a pair of eyes floating in the air just staring at you.
I'm telling you, my door will be locked.
It's not a glory hole, Chris.
Could be.
Oh my god, a glory hole gateway, Ian.
No, you
gotta make sure it doesn't close on you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not the edge.
Not worth it.
These edges are razor sharp, Joe.
Have you seen the Dragon Scepter? You know how that was made.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Snip, snip.
Snip, snip.
How moils work, though.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a whole other point of view.
I think I saw that on YouTube once, that whole thing.
That's what they use them for in the Age of Legends. That's what their original use was.
So this chapter or this section of the chapter ends with the guy Sean taking the corpse away. That's how we end this. Anything from all this before we switch to our favorite dark friend?
Just more toe, right? Don't they say they have Tota Ran now because he wants to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
It's just more like
he did something to save their honor with it by kind of twisting the truth. And now they have toe.
Yeah. So lots of toes.
Which they seem to happily accept because that would be better than like the dishonor that they would receive from I don't know, not being able to fight the gray man. I don't even know.
Not being able to even notice the gray man was in the room.
Yeah.
They completely failed, including Avienda.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The maiden all around, and a wise one would have toe.
Rand comes up with an idea, right? Doesn't Rand say he has an idea to help Sulin meet her toe? I wonder how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I tried dwelling on that. Like all of this made him think, oh, I have an idea, but I don't know what he means by that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, we'll figure it out eventually.
Rand's plans work out, some of them don't. And generally when it has to do with the Aiel and he thinks he has it figured out, he usually just makes it worse. So I'm a little nervous.
Hadn't Bane. I was like, we'll figure it out.
Okay, moving on.
The last time we were on the show, we had a Padden Fane point of view, right, Jen?
Yeah.
I think we did. Great Hunt. Right?
Yeah, I think it
was a Padden. I think there was a Padden Fane section.
The one where he's like eating all the Trollocs or eating all the people.
Yes.
Delicious.
What's the
classic?
It's another disturbing
Padden
Fane scene. So, yeah. Switch to Padden Fane.
Yeah, this one's worse.
Yeah, this one's a lot worse. He's playing with the dagger. Playing with his dagger. There's a Mergil in the room that is terrified of Fane.
Sitting in the corner cowering like Fane is a badass.
I have a question about this line because I was reading. I had to read a couple times and I'm still not sure of it. So he says he glanced towards where the Mergil sat, waiting his pleasure on the far side of the room. Whose pleasure was it? Waiting Fane's pleasure, or the Mergil was waiting its pleasure?
Fane's pleasure.
Fane's pleasure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he was just sitting there waiting for a command, or you know, he was ready to jump on the dime to do whatever Fane wanted.
Gotcha.
And then Mergil won't even look at Fane, like won't even make eyeless contact.
Yeah.
With Fane.
Yeah.
How do you know if he's looking at you?
The eyes of a fate is fear, but this fate is fear's fame. Like it's rolls
the tongue twister.
He had broken it of that long since. Like this Midril's been there for a while, and Fane has tortured it to the point where all it wants to do.
Fane has created in this Mergil with a dark one created in him.
I see Chris found his microphone.
I did. I decided like the
got a little limp microphone there tonight. Huh?
Yeah,
he's been leaning back the entire episode. Like I can barely hear him. And now he's like, "Hey guys."
But I mean, you got to think about it. Like this is exactly what the dark one did to Padden Fane. Like broke him down to the point where like he can't be in his presence without cowering. How he wants to make sure he like does everything he can to honor him. How he's driven and almost bonded to Rand. So now this Mergil is that way. So a little bit of payback in his own way. I like it.
Yeah, we're finding out that Padden Fane is truly the worst kind of evil, and we've had hints of that, but this chapter definitely crosses that T, dots that I.
Yep. Well, a young boy comes in, Perwin Bellum, and his mother, Nan, and they enter the room, and he brings news that someone tried to kill the Dragon Reborn with a gray man.
Is it garlic Nan, or just plain Nan, or like a Parmesan cheese Nan?
Parmesan cheese Nan's really good.
So good.
Cheesy Nan.
Mm. Yeah.
Pat and Fane thinks the same.
Oh, well, now I feel bad for making that joke. It just got dark in here.
I'm
getting hungry, actually. So.
Yeah.
Oh, even worse joke.
Even worse.
Wrap this up so we can go have a non.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop. don't jump to the end, Joe. We're not there yet.
That's what she said.
That's so bad. And we officially lost half of our listeners right there.
Right there. All right. Our podcast is done now.
Just so that I feel bad laughing at all of that.
Yeah. Anyway, so Fane's angry about someone trying to kill Rand because Rand's his. Only he can kill Rand.
It's my toy.
And I guess she learned that
he like rubs the kid's face and all of a sudden he's convulsing.
Yeah, I didn't remember that part. He got some weird powers. He doesn't know how he got them or how to use them.
More death powers, yeah.
Well, is this still the evil of the dagger? Because remember that was part of what they talked about with Matt, that not only would he have issues, but it would just ooze and spread around him, and the longer he had it, the worse it would be.
I mean,
and the boy calls him Mordeth.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Maybe the Lord Mordeth poison is like coming out of him now.
Yes, that was my thought. Ooh. That was exactly my thought. And then is this Mashin Shin? Or yeah, isn't it?
Mashadar.
Mashadar.
Yeah. No, but just like when you stab somebody with the dagger, you just
But it's not like like an extension of Mashadar. Mm-hmm. Like this.
Well, it's got to be related to that evil somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He doesn't even know, right? He says, something from the Dark One, perhaps a bit from Arid Hall.
Yeah.
So he doesn't
know. And he's you learn here that the white cloaks that he had, there's fewer of them because the ones that try to kill Rand last chapter.
Who called it? Yeah, this guy.
Yeah, that they were his white cloaks, and they captured a bunch of them and I guess they were they supposed to capture Rand then, like, and bring him to him, like, because he said he would have.
Oh no, he said killed it.
They would have been able to do it. But yeah, but he said if they happened to do it, he would have skinned them or something like that. Like,
yeah. So he just like they were wasted pawns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My favorite part is when he was talking about the dagger itself, and he was like, "I know it's there, but sometimes I just got to pull it out and touch it." And that just reminded me when I was four. When I was four or five, you remember those years?
No, I don't.
You just gotta remind yourself that it's there, and.
That snaps at four or five.
remember yesterday.
As you get older, you do it in private. But as a toddler boy, every now and then they just go, "There it is. What's up?" And you're like, "It is not a banjo. Stop that." You're like,
"I had a teacher. I had a history teacher in eighth grade. And he would prop his leg up on the desk of the nearest girl."
Oh, and
then he would start adjusting. Like, it got really uncomfortable.
Oh no!
That is no bueno. That's not good.
Funny, everybody. Not smiling.
Not funny. Yeah.
That's a little sexist, though, because like I hear that and I go, "Oh, what a jerk! He should be in jail." But like, if that English teacher
brushed her boobs up in your face,
no,
I'd have been okay with that.
In eighth grade.
Oh, that was senior year.
Not eighth grade, yeah.
Oh, that's different.
Senior high school.
Still wrong, but a little bit.
On the desk.
Right, yeah.
If she put her leg up and started, like that guy did, and started adjusting, you probably wouldn't have felt the same way.
No. Well, that's true. Dan's a man.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm thinking of that
scene. This show got really dark really fast.
Where Lauren Hahn uses the urinal in the men's room.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. And then the mom like starts pleading for Fane to not her son. And all of a sudden that makes Fane sexual, get a little horny or something. Because he's like,
He was like, "Oh, she's a pretty woman. Oh yeah,
it's been a while since I've been with a woman. Hey, how about you please me?" And he's like, "Wait, why is she struggling with this? Oh, this is Rand's fault. I'm with the herder." That's the end of this chapter.
Pretty fucked up.
Poor woman. Yeah, the end of this chapter did like really kill the vibe. I was like, "He's killing a kid. The kid might survive. All right, I'm good with that." But then when he took it that far, I was like, "You know, there's so much joking you can do before you're like, I saw this coming." Mm-hmm. The moment he said, "Oh, she's such a pretty woman," I already knew that he had it in his mind that he was going to do something with her,
which is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize to the listeners. I try to use humor to get through really awkward and crappy stuff, and I tried here, and it just got worse. Mm-hmm. That's only because this was really, really dark. Not a fan.
Yeah,
I do believe I said ew when I read that.
Yeah, it was the ew part. I didn't remember this part, so all of it I was like, "Oh, they just reminded us how horrible Fane is and how
he's
probably one of the most horrible people we meet in the books, if not the most."
Not that this matters, but are they dark friends?
Yes. She is. But he mentioned about like them being dark friends and like her thinking that she would never really have to do anything, something like that. Like, it makes a comment.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were getting into, sort of thing.
Yeah.
She was given the same t-shirt Patton Fane was, not realizing that it came with a contract.
Pater.
She's given the same t-shirt as Pater.
Yeah, she was at the same concert, got the same t-shirt.
Yeah,
exactly.
Signed up, like, didn't know what she
said. I got to do what?
Yeah. Pretty gross. Actually, extremely gross.
Chanel likes to remind me that there are moments where you are quickly shown that Robert Jordan and George Martin were friends. And this is one of those situations where I was like, there we go.
Well, here's the thing. George R. Martin would have started describing what happened next.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the difference, is where it just ends the chapter with Jordan just ends it. Whereas,
George R. Martin, depending on the type of person you are. I'm a very graphic person in my head, so
I guess. But also it goes back to something else. Like, I remember when the TV show was coming out, and a lot of people were talking about the rating, and there's hints that it was going to be TVMA, even though it ended up being TV-14. And I remember reading someone like made this big rant about how it can't be TVMA because, you know, the book is not, there's nothing bad in the book. I'm like, do we read the same book? Like, yeah. I know it glosses over stuff, but it's there.
Put certain things on the screen. If you choose to put certain things on the screen, you have to show, not tell.
It's not YA. Like, and that's I think what the someone was trying to make the argument that Wheel of Time's YA, like young adult. And I'm like,
No.
There's plenty of stuff in there that's a bit much.
No. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they fade to black and a lot of stuff, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we had. Anything we missed from these chapters?
Nobody spoiled us on the next two chapters, and I'm really disappointed.
We switched point of views completely, so that's why.
Next chapter is a good chapter. Go read it when you're done.
No, you can't read it tonight because we're doing a live.
We're doing a live read on Thursday. Yeah.
For patrons.
It's only 2 days.
I can wait.
Yeah. I normally wait till the day of anyway, so that would be me reading ahead of time.
It's going to be early.
Yeah. So any questions you guys have for them?
You got some good thoughts there. I like some of those predictions you have there. Some of them are right and some of them are wrong.
You can ask them, like, when do you think Batman's going to show up? Like, you know, ask them.
Batman already?
That's very early on. The Black Tower actually came on. Andrew.
Jen,
and
you said you had a lot you wanted to say, so we're just waiting on you to say it.
Yeah, when Rand opens the gateway to Gotham and has like one chapter of a little side quest with Batman.
Yeah,
I knew it.
There you go. That's the end of this book. That's like the really good part that everyone.
Why else learn to do the gateways if you're not going to go to Gotham?
Right, you have to go to different universes.
Obviously,
yeah. They kind of trade notes, like the whole Joker Fane. Yeah. Like, how do you capture? What should I do?
Right.
So, that's a good question. Assuming that there are other worlds and gateways can go anywhere, could you open a gateway to some other planet? Like, what is the limitations of gateways?
We gotta know where you're going.
No, you gotta know where you are.
You can't open gateways to mirror worlds, though, right?
No, you can open gateways to other planets if the circle is large enough. But you can't. I don't think you can open a gateway between worlds, like between.
There's gonna be a next book, and it's gonna connect to the Cosmere, and
a little different.
Connect the Cosmere.
From a physics standpoint, is the further away the point is that you're trying to punch a hole to, it would take a tremendous amount of energy because that's more that you have to bend before you make that hole.
Yeah, you got to think about the closest star to us is over 4 light years away. That's a really long ways. Like, it's far.
It's a big bend.
It's a big bend. That's the closest one. And the closest sun-like system is 12 light years away. And why I know this, I don't know. It's Tau City. But on that note, favorite character.
I felt really bad for the little boy. He was super excited. Like, he thought he was doing such a great thing. Like, just imagine. 8-year-old self running in. I have great news, or I have news in general, and I know you'll be super happy.
I have news in general.
Yeah, like I'm gonna please you. I'm a people pleaser. And he's like, yes, boy. I see Lord Voldemort, Avada Kedavra, and then it'd be more like Grisio.
Yeah,
but he gets my honorable mention
for Perwin.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have to go Rand. I like the way he handled the Aes Sedai, and I haven't gone Rand in a while, but I like that little interaction there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite character. I like Tame's quick intro and outro into the chapter.
Got some super important. This kid that doesn't do anything yet. See you later. Pew.
Yeah.
I thought you might want to. I gotta go.
Exactly.
That being said, this kid probably plays some major role that we just don't even know yet.
I'll spoil something. Somebody in one of the characters in these two chapters dies by the end of the book.
Oh yes.
I don't remember, so I can't even tell you if that's true or not. So
I'm pretty sure one or two of the characters that Fane talks to dies before the chapter.
So that's believable, yes. Yeah. I wanna know if that Fade makes it.
Is he just watching the whole thing?
I don't remember if any of these
characters. Yeah, he's just in the corner.
That Fade's, he's trying to not be seen or heard. He does not want
he's the corner.
Can a Fade close their eyes? Like, how do they not look at something?
How do they look at something?
No, but how do they not look? What is
how do they look?
I don't know. Eyes. Magic.
Cover your eyes. You know what I'm having a hard time with?
No.
Do you think I have a favorite character from these chapters?
You don't have a favorite character?
I really don't. Like, nobody
just
really.
Just say Telmanis, and everybody's happy.
It's Avienda because she came out naked.
Wait. Come out naked. What's the name of the male Aiel that tells Rand that his problem isn't understanding Aiel? It's the problem is understanding women. He's a winner.
That was a female character.
I think it might have been two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
None of them.
I like
whoever Sulin. It is who gets sent.
I'm
the
Sulin.
Sulin. Okay.
Yes, I was gonna pick.
Too bad.
No.
She's got some really sexy toe with that dress.
Yeah.
That dress shows her toes.
That's probably all it shows.
Anyway, she has female feet.
Oh yeah. How old do you think
Sulin
is?
I'll give it to Wayne.
Sulin's old.
I just broke Ian. There's this kid in our this back in high school. There's this kid in our high school class, and he had a crush on a girl in our class. Socially awkward kid. And,
to the maximum degree.
And he was trying to, like, I guess, talk to her, and, like, he got really, like, shy, and, like, it was a cute, like, not trying to make fun of this kid, but, like, he's, like, chokes and says, like, I like your feet. You have female feet.
He compliments them as female feet.
That's not the worst thing you could have said.
Well, also, when he gets nervous, he starts shooting fireballs. So right after that, and the class chuckled, he started fireballing people. And then
oh my god,
we were shooting fireballs back and diving by tables. Well,
then we told him he accidentally hit the girl that he loved. We told him that he hit the girl that he likes the fireball, and he tries to throw an ice ball. Like, he got really mad.
He's like, "Oh no!" Put the
he was eye functioning autistic.
This was in high school, so we just ran with it. That was hilarious.
Poor kid.
Anyway, yeah. I know.
At least he didn't start crushing people's heads.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm gonna give it to Egwene.
That's another story.
That's a whole other story. Yeah.
Egwene at least held true to her word and did not use Gawain. So, I have given the Lady Aes Sedai's a lot of crap for their misuse of people. So here she went doing the right thing. So I'm going to give it to her.
Okay.
She also gave Rand a lot of good advice, too.
She did. Mm-hmm. And if Rand hadn't been such a butt and done what she said, he may have gotten more out of the interaction through her. So she kind of was the Moraine in this moment. Mm. And he did not take the advice. So I'm going to give it to her tonight.
Yep.
I think Egwene's just like Gawain, morality. Yeah, Egwene's morality is more confusing than Toe, and it's getting even more and more confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to protect this person, and I'm going to keep my word here, but then I'm going to act kind of like Aes Sedai here, and then I'm lying about myself, but, you know, anyway.
I think we're in the rain chapter soon.
Yeah.
Like, spinning in the void, trying to figure out which way is up.
Tumbling, grabs the sword, fights the Balrog.
Yeah, there you go. So next time on The Will Reads, we'll be covering two chapters, as we mentioned before, 29 and 30. And those chapter titles are Fire and Spirit.
That's the one.
To Heal Again.
Oh, is this going to be where they finally fix Swan?
Yeah. Nice. Wow. I like you.
Dream.
What's wrong with Swan? Chapter? You have a problem with her, Chris?
She can't channel at the moment.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So that's next time. So should be fun. We're looking forward to it. At least I am. So how can people find Talk Around Riyadh? How can we thank you guys once again for coming on? Thank you guys so much. How can people find you? Support you.
They can come to the Wheel Reads YouTube page and watch this episode over and over again.
No, go to www.talkaranriad.com. That's easy enough to spell, right? It's right here in our names, but without the
apostrophes,
not parentheses. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Jen has parentheses on hers, but yeah, just go to that site or, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, just search us, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all those great places. We're all there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There you go. Sounds great. And how we can be found is at thewheelreads.com. So yeah, www.thewheelreads.com. Also, you can join us on Discord there. We have a large Discord. So let's talk around Riyadh. So join at your own risk. Ours is very, very – I think you guys have roles now too, right, where you can
– Yeah, we've become a little bit more spoiler-friendly since the show came out, but most of the action's in the spoiler area. So
spoiler, yeah. So we have spoiler-free sections and very fairly active ones where people can go through the books and give their reactions as first-time readers and pick a role. So you're not spoiled, and also join conversation. I'm probably going to hang out a little bit in our Discord afterwards in our Badger Barrow voice chat, just to hang out if anybody wants to talk. So after the show, feel free to come over and hang out if you want. You know, you can support us, find links on our website to support us lots of different ways. You know, we have merchandise at our merch store. Have Patreon, which is the best way of probably supporting us, the easiest way of supporting us. And you can get things like access to us listen, Ian and Chris live react to next week's episode. So
it's going to be great.
It's going to be fun. So yeah.
It's going to be an hour of me going, what? What? Whoa.
No way.
Yeah, exactly. And then yeah, feel free to like us, review us, go to social media, follow us, all that great stuff. And that's all I got from this week, guys.
Also, I forgot.
Until next time. Oh, I retract that statement. Go ahead.
The Rings of Power. Mm-hmm. I liked it, Ian. I did.
There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, a lot of potential. I mean, I went in with the idea of don't think Lord of the Rings. And since I thought that
that's
way,
the key.
It was phenomenal. I was like, this is really well put together. And the music is great.
Yep. Like if you let it be its own thing,
that's Bear McCreary.
Don't try and compare it.
So just a little side note, I guess this is another personal life story. My wife and I watched Rings of Power together because she wanted to see it. And we watched it Sunday night. So as soon as it was over, I was like, all right, I'm going to watch House of Dragon now. And she was like, well, I've never watched Game of Thrones. So I was like, well, she was like, I'll just watch this episode with you. So she watched that episode with me. And then she was like, how do you keep all these different things separate in your head? Because I'm sitting there watching, like going from Rings of Power to House of Dragon, like, and I'm confused right now. Like,
what?
And like, I was like, they're completely different worlds. What do you mean? Exactly. She's like, I just don't understand this whole Game of Time thing. And I was like, okay, that's my new favorite thing.
She's like fantasy, you know, all these fantasy look alike to me.
Yeah. No, she likes the fantasy stuff, but she definitely takes, like, she doesn't understand how I can like watch two shows and be reading Cosmere and reading Wheel of Time all at the same time and keep it all separate. I'm like, because they're completely different. So
same way you can watch basketball, football, and baseball, right? And know what's going on. All those, right? That's all the same thing.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Same.
And then when Bo Jackson like shows up in all of them, you're like,
that's like
episode.
That's like Michael McElhattan, right? He's like, wait, I thought he was in Game of Thrones. He's now he's on Wheel of Time.
Yeah, exactly. So once again, that's all I have for this week.
He's the Bo Jackson. Sorry.
Until next time.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
He is the Bo Jackson. You know.
I hope you enjoyed the show and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.